Lord, we thank you for another time and opportunity in your word tonight. We just praise you that when we come into your presence, we can find answers, we can get solutions, we can find what we need to find in regard to where we are and what you're doing in our hearts. And so, Father, we thank you tonight, and we're open to hear what the Spirit has to say to us tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for the revelation on veils, helping us, Lord God, daily to pull these things down, to identify them, and to make sure that they do not have power over our believing, our receiving, or our trusting in you. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Now, we were in the book of Habakkuk earlier. Let's go back there, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. And let's look at this fundamental little thing about how we in our own personal lives respond to God out of life, out of our day-to-day living and experiencing various things, troubles, trials, tests, and even the good things. But we respond to God. We really do. We respond to God out of our thoughts, out of our feelings. We respond to God out of our emotions. There is a response that goes up to God. And so therefore, we need to be sure that we are responding to him and not to situations. Responding to him and not to circumstances. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't honor circumstances. Don't give honor and praise to trouble and strife and trials when you can give it to God. Amen. And when we respond to those things, we are literally paying homage to them as if we're worshiping them. They desire our attention. Yeah, these things are real. There are things you need to take action on. You don't need to be slothful or procrastinate in areas in your life. You need to do stuff. But it's how we respond that matters to God. Hallelujah. Amen. See, some of us just don't like the idea of having to fight the good fight of faith. We just don't like having to apprehend. We want to join the crowd that says you pray about it one time, that's it, you believe it, you receive it, you shouldn't have to ever mention it again. Well, the Bible teaches us to persevere in prayer. Ask, keep on asking. Knock, keep on knocking. Seek, and you shall find. Amen? And so we are to employ ourselves. We are to give ourselves diligently in persistence, right? With insistent importunity, right? Until things happen. We're in spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. Now, even Daniel was said, it was said of Daniel, he said, "Oh, Daniel, man, greatly beloved of God, when your petition came before God, you know, action was taken on it, but I was fighting a prince over Persia," right? And there was spiritual warfare going on, but now I've come to you, right? So, you know, get away from this instant thing and realize that you have to fight the good fight of faith.
Right.
You have to be persistent. And don't allow yourself to get discouraged because while you're believing and waiting on God, stuff happens. Don't allow yourself to be discouraged. It ain't over unless God says it's over.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So stop making decisions for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Stop making decisions for your Father. Trust him. And watch and see, doesn't he come through? Amen. Watch and see, doesn't he come through? All right. So now Habakkuk is just revealing something that every one of us need to pay attention to. And that is we respond to God out of our feelings, our emotions, sensually, out of our mind, out of our intellect, amen, when we are really supposed to be responding to God in faith. He said in verse 1 of chapter 2, "Oh, I know I have been rash to talk out plainly this way to God. I will in my thinking stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower or fortress." He calls it a tower or fortress, doesn't he? He starts his thinking in ability, his intellectual place where he can discern things. He calls it a tower or a fortress. So thoughts that are thunk under God are powerful. So it really is important what you're thinking. Amen? It's important to know how you thunk about it. Amen. Now, see, he says, I will station myself on the tower or fortress and will watch to see what he will say within me. This tower or fortress is like a place that is in the heavenlies. It's a high place. It's the place where I can hear from God. Are you with me? He considers it to be a place of hearing. Amen? And it's a tower or fortress, which means that if I'm in the place where I can hear from God, I am in a place of protection. I'm in a fortress. I'll be well taken care of in that place where I can hear from God. See, that's why it's important for the believer to hear from God. We take so many steps and we take action on things and we accept things, even that other people bring to us based on how we feel about it. But we haven't heard from God. There is a promotion that comes that doesn't come from God. Huh? There's prosperity that can come that doesn't come from God. Hallelujah. Yeah. You can be set up to continue to just walk in the flesh.
Right.
You can be set up. See, the Israelites proved that. Back in the Old Testament, when the prophet was speaking to them like Jeremiah and telling them to repent and everything, get right with God. And he spoke to them, I think it was in Ezekiel maybe. Ezekiel said to them, he spoke to them and their wives. Isn't that right? I think it was the book of Ezekiel. But he spoke to them and he said, you and your wives. And then the wives came back and said, did we make cakes to the bread of heaven, you know, without our husband's permission? Huh? In other words, the women came back and said to the prophet who was trying to get them to repent, you know, look, we got our husband's permission to do this. Don't be talking to us about it. Yeah, that's how deep they got into their rebellion against God. Right? And the men actually said, no, we are not going to repent. We are not going to pray to God. As long as we worship Baal, our needs were met. We had good harvest. So you see, prosperity can come from other places other than God. Yeah. You can get things. And you can be blessed apart from God. And the devil is the one who sets us up for it because he gives us these little cunning ways to get things done. Yeah, give us these little cunning ways to get things done. See, but you see, a true believer will make his request made known unto God. I don't have to tell you what my need is. And God can still use you to meet it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You don't have to tell me what your need is. And God can move on me to meet that need and bring supply without you ever saying anything to me. He just gives me discernment because I love you, right? We worship God together. We're family. So God just drops it in my spirit and says, you need to bless them with such and such. And so I just obey the Lord. I don't have to know anything about it. I just obey the Lord. Hallelujah. See, you don't need to get all that technical where they shouldn't have used the charge card so much, God. There wouldn't be a need there. I don't think I need to be paying their bills. You don't get into that. That's not my concern. My concern is to stand on my tower. Amen. And watch and see what the Lord will answer me. Right. Now, he did that because he had been rash and he'd been speaking out to God in a plain way, which means he was complaining. He was making complaints known to God.
Right.
And he was just going on and on and on. And he said, now I know I'm wrong in doing that. He felt it. He's like, the conviction came. Oh, my God, what have I done? Remember, God got on to Jeremiah about an attitude, didn't he?
Yeah.
About his attitude. See, some things you don't have to say. You just kind of wear it. You just wear it, you know. But you see, God is reading that. And that speaks to him. See, it speaks to him. I know Christians are concerned about, I just don't believe. The Lord heals me when I pray. Sweetheart, he feels you. He don't just hear you. He feels you. You walking around with that old stuff on you and you got this old attitude toward God like he's out to get you. He hears that. He feels that from you. And he does hear you when you pray because you're his kid. Amen. So he said, now I know, you know, that I've actually in speaking out this way. I'm going to see what I'm going to watch and see what he will say. And where is he going to say it at? Where is he going to say it at? Within me. On the inside, God's going to speak to me. He speaks to me through that soft, still voice of my own born-again spirit. He speaks to me. See what he will say within me and what answer I. Now, that's important. When God speaks to you, what answer will you make back to him? That's very important. God is looking for a yes from you and me. Not I'll think about it, or I'll pray about it, or I'll get counseling on it. Maybe I'll just skip a meal and fast over it. God is looking for a yes. Hallelujah. So he says, what answer I will make as his mouthpiece. You and I are his mouthpiece. Yes. Right now, look, you are his mouthpiece prophetically. Even when you are not standing before somebody and saying, thus says the Lord. You are his mouthpiece when you respond in situations and circumstances in faith and belief in an awesome God who is able to meet all of your needs. Because if someone looks on your life and you're worrying and fretting and twirling your thumbs and wringing your hands like everybody else who don't know what they're going to do, then prophetically, you're saying to them, you know, I'm a believer, but I can't even trust God. Doesn't the Bible says that we are read of men? We're read of men. So how we respond is important. How we answer God when he speaks to us is very important. We have to accept when God does certain things and say yes to him. Amen. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous some of the things that we can get into. Be jealous of others because they're being blessed. Just ridiculous. I should be shaking my head up and down saying, thank you, Lord, for blessing my brother. Thank you for blessing them, Lord. Meet all of their needs, Lord. Amen. Because he's the same God that meets yours. So we are his mouthpiece. Now, see, this is very important. And the reason why this is important is because of veils. Depending upon what is working in your life, what you've given credence to in your subconscious, what you've accepted, you are going to do as either Habakkuk did and be conscious of what you're doing in your life and in your spirit and in your worship, or you're just going to muddle your way through life hoping and praying that God's going to do something. Isn't that right? See, this is a deliberate action on our part, a faith action that keeps us in a place of faith. Well, we recognize that God is all good all the time. And he's always looking out for us. Always. Amen? Well, let's look at verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes by may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. So what God is doing when he answers you is giving you vision. Isn't that right? He's giving you vision. See, he gives you vision for your life when he gives you answers. Right? Well, see, the Bible says without vision, the people perish. So when God answers you, he gives you something to focus on. He gives you vision. You focus on his answer for your needs. Amen. Hallelujah. You focus on his answers. I'm paying attention to how God answers me. Yes, I am. I am paying attention to what he's saying to me, because that is where vision is created in my life. That's why the gospel is so important. See, because faith comes by hearing. If I can hear the gospel of the kingdom, truly hear the message that Jesus wants us to concentrate on, if I can hear that, that creates vision in me. Right? And the more of that I receive, the greater my vision becomes. The greater my faith becomes. God is in the business of convincing you and I that he will do exactly what he said he would do. We're stuck in a place in the body of Christ, a place of only seeking God for our personal need. We're stuck in it. And it causes us to be pulled down. That's right. It causes us to be pulled down because we're working for our needs. The burden for your education, you young people, the burden for your education that's on you to get an education in the American society is pretty much rooted and grounded in the American dream. Having a home, having a car, you know, maybe a dog. Being able to feed it. It's your burden for getting an education. It's a burden because it's all about your well-being. Now, you see, that is totally non-scriptural. But that's why you want a good education, so you can make good money. Right? So you can be well, so you can be self-sufficient. Have your own things. Well, the scripture in Matthew 6:33 still works whether you've stepped out to go to college or not. It's the same scripture after you got your degree. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. I'm here to tell you the truth, and it is the truth. God can do what you're striving to get an education for without you even going to college. Don't let an education, you know, be your drive for success. That's not scriptural. You want to be successful so you get a good education. No, you want, if you want to be successful, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hallelujah. Right? Now, if you're supposed to go to school, that's fine. But don't go to school based on the American dream. Go to school based on God's dream. Let God show you why he wants you in school. Amen? Follow him. And watch and see if he doesn't give you fresh motivation for your education. He'll give you a fresh, new and living thought life when it comes down to your education. It's not about passing and failing. You do well in school. You got the mind of Christ. You don't have to worry about that. But God can situate you in life based on your God-given talents. And usually, if you follow that, that's what you will get involved in your education. Your God-given talents. He gives you natural ability, and those natural abilities are used for your well-being, to take care of yourself, and the natural things in life. And God uses that to position you in places where you can be of use to him. But it's not so that you can just get a lot of money, so that you can take care of yourself and be self-sufficient. My self-sufficiency is in Christ Jesus. I mean, what a lifting of burden if we could just realize that we're to put the kingdom of God first and he'll add all these things to us. Then we can follow him with a free spirit. Hallelujah. But see, if you got these veils in place and you've fallen hook, line, and sinker for the American dream rather than God's dream, then there's a whole lot that comes along with that, like student loans. Amen. Huh? See, you're so driven to do this thing, and they're so quick to give you the money. They are. Man, they'll give you a student loan when you can't go out and get your credit started. But they'll give you a student loan. See? Get you in debt over your head. And it takes you years to pay that money back. And that can affect you too. In integrity. Matters of integrity. Doing the right thing. Because you want to get this off of you. There's a lot to be, you know, to think about. How are you responding to God? How are you responding to situations, circumstances? How are you responding to needs? My response should not be per se to the need. My response should be to God. The need has a voice. And when it speaks with emotion and feelings, and I feel it. But I don't have to answer it. I do not have to answer it. I give my answer to God. Right? I give my answer to God. So don't get all tore up about needs and stuff. Because that's not what God called us to be concerned about. We're supposed to be concerned about His kingdom. You're going to keep hearing this over and over again now. Because this is the gospel of the kingdom. You're going to hear it over and over again. You're going to hear it in different manners and different messages because this is more important than anything. Until we get free of all of this striving after God to get something, you're going to continue to hear it. Amen. See? Trusting God is the way to enjoy life. Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Well, He said it's for an appointed time in verse 3. The vision is yet for an appointed time. So you have to realize that as God gives you vision, that there's time involved. And so I have to submit to God's timing. I have to submit to God's timing. It's one thing to see something. It's another thing to have the yes and amen of God to proceed. That's entirely another thing. I can see it, but I need to get the yes and amen from God to proceed. It can be right. It's what I'm supposed to do. I can collect stuff. Have it on hand. And then at some point, God will say, okay, now we want you to do this. You begin to follow Him. Step by step. Remember in verse 2, it says they're hastening by. They're hastening by. They're all in a hurry. Trying to get somewhere. Right? And when they get there, they're not satisfied. They got to rush somewhere else. It's a spirit. It's just a spirit, see? If I know what God says, then I can stop. I can be still. I don't have to be rushing. I can relax. And I can know it's okay. It's all taken care of because God said it was. Amen. So, I mean, depending upon what a person believes, what veil is erected in their lives, they will just stop and see the hand of God move in their life, or they'll try to manipulate the word of God and the things of God to make things happen in their life and call it faith. Amen. How many professions in your prayer journal do you have where you're just forcing God, trying to force God to do something? Amen. Sounds good. Lord, you said it. Put some pressure on you up there. You hear me? I mean, I know these messages have made you rethink a lot of things that you've written in your scripture, I mean, in your prayer journals. And it should. And isn't it interesting that God led us every step of the way? Right? He knows exactly what He's doing. Yes. He led you into that phase and now He's leading you into another phase. Hallelujah. Do you see what I'm saying? This is growing. The Word of God is like, it's revelatory. It just, He'll just pull off one page and you're going, whoa! I've never seen that before! And you'll just revel in that for a while and have church over that boogity, 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 boogity. And then God said, wait a minute, let me show you something else. And He'll just pull back another page. Same revelation. Same word. Pull over another page. Whoa! Amen? That's the way he is. See? Just because it's one word doesn't mean it doesn't have multiple levels of meaning. Multiple levels of understanding. Multiple levels of revelation. We are growing. We're growing. See? Now, if you're still messing around in the same area, worrying, fretting about money and bills and stuff, you're not growing very, very much. If you're still worried about that, if you're not a cheerful giver, you're not growing. If you're hoarding what you have and you don't freely give unto God, you're not growing. If all you're doing is feeling like you've done what you ought to do in paying your tithes, you're not growing. You're not. If you can't give without God just showering down his spirit on you and jacking you up, you're not growing. If there's got to be a need revealed in the church before you'll give a big gift, you're not growing. If you think you know all that your church is in need of and therefore what you're giving is fine, you're not growing. If you haven't asked the pastor about the future of the church and his vision and where he desires it to go, you're not growing. Are you tired yet? I'll quit right there. I'll quit right there. You understand what I'm saying? You see, you and I don't realize there are veils erected in our life that is causing us to be inactive in things. We think God has got to, and we got this just the other day so beautifully. My wife got a revelation on something, and she said this to me. She said, you know, God didn't speak to me and tell me to do such and such and such. And I said, oh, okay, yeah, right, okay. And so I just thought about that for a moment. And then the revelation came that God, in relationship with you, doesn't have to speak audibly or even in your spirit to just tell you when to do things. I had a sense not too long ago, not just about a week ago, wasn't it? I had a sense in me. I was listening to this gospel singer singing a love song about his wife. And love for my wife just kind of oozed up in me. And I got the sense I need to send her some flowers. And I thought about how I could do it. That didn't work out. I'll call and have them delivered. Well, she's liable to be gone and they'll miss her. Well, I'll tell the florist to call her. Make sure she's there because they have a delivery. Well, no, I want it to be a surprise. So I'm going through all this stuff. And it just didn't work out all day long to send those flowers. Turned out, they came to me before the day was out and said, you need to get off earlier than what you were scheduled. And I said, good. I said, good. And the first thing came to me was, now I got time to go get the flowers. I'll deliver them. I want to be the delivery man. Amen. So I went and got my flowers, you know, got the roses and the little things to go on them, and they were pretty. And I told the lady, now these guys, I got to need some good ones now. These need to last 2 or 3 days. I don't want to be buying something and tomorrow them bad boys be withered down. So she got in there and she felt on them. She said, now these are good and firm right here. I said, good, 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 good. Got the flowers, took them home. And my wife said to me, this is just right on time. I really needed this. Now, isn't that just like God? Amen. Right? But he didn't tell me,
you need to buy your wife flowers. She really needs a picker-up today.
Amen? It just came up in me, just in my own love for my precious. Just came up in me. And she said, you know, God, this is something else we were talking about. She said, God didn't really tell me to do this, but, you know, here I am, and I'm done this, that, and the other, and it was God's will. I said, sweetheart, in a relationship with God, sometimes just because you're in relationship with God and you love him, you can just know something. You can just know it. And he's not saying, go and do this. Like it, you are just always, look, God doesn't always look at you just like you are a servant. Go wash the dishes. Go sweep up. You're in relationship with him. You're his child, right? He loves you. And so he'd like to just have, you know, you understanding and having discernment and the feeling for him and honor that. Just know, you know what I need to do? I need to do such and such. God ain't saying, thus saith the Lord, go do it. A prophet's not coming by saying, thus saith the Lord, go do it. You just have a knowing. See? And we need to follow that. Just obey it. Because it's in you through your relationship. You just know it. Amen? Amen? So, you have to get away from the idea that, you know, well, God hadn't said nothing. No, he doesn't always say something. He doesn't. Sometimes you just know. You just know. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. I love that. So, when he speaks to you, he gives you vision. When he speaks to us, he gives us vision. And we respond to God based on the vision that he gives us. Watch how you're answering. Answer him according to what he says. Answer him in agreement to what he says. Don't question what he says. Answer in agreement to what he says. Right? An answer from God is the solution. Right? One of the first things we want to do is, well, I don't see how that'll work. Well, you know, God, I don't understand how that's going to work. Wait a minute. You're talking to God. Amen. Remember that. Don't forget that. It's God. God knows the ins and the outs from the ins, and everything else. And it might look foolish to you, but that's only because you're foolish. All right, we dealt with that this morning, amen? It might look foolish to us, but that's just because we're foolish, and we see foolish things. But when vision comes, when an answer comes from God, it creates vision in me. And now I see God's answer. Now I am going to do those things that agree with vision. See? When vision comes, there are little things that surround that, little things that agree with vision. Right? And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to agree with those things that agree with vision. It might be that I need to do this. It might mean that I need to step back from this. Right. Amen? Right. It might mean that I need to go here. It might mean I don't need to go there. Amen. There's things that agree with vision. I agree with those little steps that agree with vision. I cooperate. See, and God uses that, and he formidably just brings things to pass by his miracle working power that you and I just cannot do any other way. Favor. Favor comes from God that way. You know, I have an anointing for my secular work. I just walk in there in my anointing. You have an anointing for your work. You do. You have an anointing for your work. That's why you're successful. You don't even have to hear to do your work. Here you are. You're successful. And you don't even have to hear. But I would appreciate it if you get your hear. He don't even have, and he's successful. I mean, they're after him, man. They want him to be there. Right? And then, like, I don't even know if he heard what I said. Just get in the truck. He's so good at it, he can just let him go anywhere. It don't matter. That's favor. There's people that would be fired or not hired because of that need. And yet the favor of God says, just get in the truck. That's awesome, man. That's just awesome. But you see, God anoints you for whatever. God's anointing is there for you in school. His anointing is there. So when you walk on campus, you are anointed for what's going to go on campus. Amen. You're anointed for it. Because he's maybe secular, but God is doing something because you're a believer. Amen. His anointing is on you as a believer. And so, hey, doesn't God work in the secular?
Yes.
He desires to work in the secular. My job is all about secular. And yet I have a ministry within the secular.
Amen.
It's awesome. See? All right. So some things you're just going to know because of your relationship. And the more we listen to God and the more vision is created in us, the more we're just going to know. Isn't there a scripture that says that we'll do certain things by our discretion? Isn't that right? By our discretion, because of our relationship with God, we will have that freedom to do things without a thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Because we know the heart of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm telling you, it might sound like we're talking about relationship tonight, but relationship is big, and relationship will tear down a veil in a minute.
Hallelujah.
It'll tear it down in a minute. It'll get rid of it in a minute. And you'll be able to follow the Lord and do what the Lord has for you to do. See? Fall in love with Him. Amen? Learn to worship God when certain needs come up. Worship Him. Begin to love on God in certain areas of your life when you're faced with needs and circumstances. Rather than responding to those things, begin to just love on the Lord. Begin to worship Him. Tell Him how much you appreciate Him. How you've always been there. You've never failed me and never will. You're such a good God. I just appreciate you. You know, and even if he said, what do you appreciate me about? You're like, well, it ain't got to be nothing in particular. I just appreciate you. You're just a good person. There's nobody like you. All of the universe you've created, every human being on the planet came out from you, and you care about me? And you're concerned about me? And you will answer my prayer? You're just an awesome person. I just want to say I love you. I just love you. And just do that instead of getting into that gully, getting in that rut of that need and that circumstance. Just do that. Just walk away and do that. And then look and see how God works for you.
You're right.
Behind the scenes. He will move for you in a Louisiana minute.
Man.
I'm serious. He will move for you. Because it's out of relationship.
Yes, sir.
It really is. Let's go on a little further. In verse, let's don't forget about now the vision for an appointed time. Remember that. When God begins to give you the vision, we have to be patient and respond with those little things that agree with vision. That's going to take time. That does take time to respond by noticing what agrees with the vision that God has given you. See, one of the best ways to notice that the things that agree with the vision that God gives you is to notice the things that don't agree. You will see automatically, that doesn't agree. And then you see what you're doing is you're prizing the vision. Because that's your answer. Right? That's the conduit. That is the pathway that's leading to victory and the answers and provision and everything that's out there that could be a concern to you, but is no longer a concern to you because you're growing in the reality that God is supplying all of that. So I'm not carrying that anymore. But it's through this process where he creates vision. Right? And I agree with those little things that agree with the vision. That takes time. Amen. And I find myself coming face to face with God's provision for my life. Now, it has an appointed day. God has a specific appointed time for every blessing in your life. Everything. And we need to trust him in that and wait on him. And don't let some Ishmaelite spirit get on us and try to produce something before it's time. Try to make something happen before it's time. Amen. Just because we're anxious and want it. Wait on the Lord. Amen. Just wait on him. Amen. Then you'll get the right one. You get the right thing, the right provision. And it's a blessing and not a curse. Hallelujah. Now, he said in verse 4, this is just a little bit of checkup. He said, look at the proud. He's telling them to look at them. Right? Look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him. It's not straight or right. You walk around in pride, your soul is not straight or right within you. Why is that important? Because out of our soul is where we do a lot of stuff. That's my personality. That's my person. And God gave me that soul to use.
Yes, he did.
See? And so you're going to respond and do things out of your soul. And doing everything you do out of your soul is not wrong. But you can choose, depending upon whether you got fear working in your life or faith working in your life, you can choose to respond out of your soul in a certain way. The soul is just a tool. It's just the way you do it. Right? It's the way you do it. You work with somebody that works with tools. You're two different individuals. You are going to handle those tools differently. And it's the same tool, but you're going to handle it differently. You got a certain manner about going. It's not just because you left-handed or right-handed either. It's just the way you handle the tool.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
And that's what God has given every one of us, to give distinction to each one of us before him. He likes the way you do it because he gave you that way.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He likes the way you do it. See, all you got to do is just let that be immersed in God. And then do it the way God has chose for you to do it. Amen? And nobody else like you.
No.
There isn't anybody else like you.
No.
Amen? And that's why, as a pastor, I have great, great, great expectation in me for every one of you.
Amen.
Because there is nobody else like you. Nobody on the planet is like you. And if we can all carry this gospel, ain't nobody else can look at you the way she does behind your back and you feel it. And you know she's looking at you. You can feel it right back here. And she does it on purpose. Just wearing on the man. I don't understand that. And then we'll go down the road and look at him and laugh at him and say, I bet you felt it too, didn't you? That's just the way she is. Amen? Nobody else like you. Not another soul like you. And when we will all collectively get the gospel, get the message of the kingdom, and be dispensers of it, nobody else can get it across like you can. And it's very important that you get to that place where you dispense it, because God is depending on you dispensing it, because nobody else can get it like you can give it. That's important. See, you're a teacher. You got a calling on your life. You know, I can't get away from it. I just know it. And I know you know it. But you're a teacher of the word. Right? And nobody can do it like you can do it. Really? Nobody can do it. See? And what we need to do is just give in. And let him begin to develop us, because God has a plan for you. Amen. He has a plan for you. And if you will follow his plan, I'm telling you, you will make history in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I think it's awesome how God has chosen every one of us and given us a special calling. And every one of us are champions. There's not a hero in the church. There are heroes.
Amen.
See? There are champions. See? There isn't a Batman or a Spider-Man like the secular. We are all heroes.
Hallelujah.
See? And it will amaze you when you begin to flow in your gifting how God will use you and what will be accomplished. Amen? Hallelujah. So he says, look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him. But the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. Rigidly just, rigidly, rigidly. That's kind of what's in here. It's rigidly, right? Rigidly and uncompromising. The only way you can be rigidly just is to listen to this. Listen to the gospel and begin to hear the faith message the way God intended for you to hear it. Then you begin to get rigid.
That's right.
You begin to get uncompromisingly. Because see, if you don't hear this the right way, you're going to compromise the message and try to make it work for you in ways that God didn't intend for it to work for you. Uncompromisingly means you stay with the way that is taught in the scriptures. You don't veer to the left or the right. You stay with it. Even if it hurts you. And it will. Even if it offends you. And it will. Right? It will. Because that part of you is what God is taking control over in your life. The part that gets offended. See, the part that gets upset, that's the part that God is working on gaining control over so that you can flow freely in him and that won't prop up and just mess up your dispensing the truth. See, when any time that you're put in a very difficult situation in your emotions and your sensibilities, anytime that happens, that doesn't come. See, you're a believer. That doesn't come without a cause. That comes because Satan is trying to make you be an untrue witness to God in front of somebody.
Right.
So we have to just, you know, kind of like suck it up and step back and think, now, wait a minute. The devil wants me to respond to this negatively like everybody else. But I ain't going to do it. Okay, Lord, what do I need to do? Just get quiet. Sometimes they're on you like, well, what you going to do? You know how people are. You know, they're right in your face. Well, what you gonna do? What's the matter with you? You know, cat got your tongue? That's the response from the world. But you just be quiet. You just wait a minute. Just wait. I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit to tell me. In some cases, it's okay to tell that person that. You just say, well, I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit to give me an answer for you. They don't know how to handle that. They be like, what? What? The Holy Spirit to give you what? I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to give me an answer for you. What's the matter with you? Can't you give your own answer? Oh, I could. But, you know, you expect that. That's what you expecting me to do. But what you really need to do is hear from God. Are you willing to wait with me just a minute so I can get a word so I can get a word from the Lord for you? I don't need no word from nobody. And they'll move on out of the way. And then the Lord probably will speak to you and say, well, see, I had a word for them, but they won't hear it. So let's just keep it between us. Amen. Relationship again. See? So we're not the proud. Right? We are not the proud. Okay? See, we're not going to be like those folks. We're going to be rigidly just. Rigidly just means that you go to great means to keep things in order. As you go back up to the very beginning of this and you watch what answer you give him, how you give it to him, and you listen to what he says, right? All right. And we have to be faithful in doing it. That's the last part of that scripture. Right? We are rigidly just, and we are uncompromisingly righteous, and we live by this faith. And we live in faithfulness. Right? So I've got to learn to be faithful in this. I got to learn. I must learn faithfulness in my approach to God in doing this. I have to be faithful. So because this is where God wants me to live, in faithfulness to Him. Did you ever think about you're faithful to God because you are staying true to what He says? That is a true sign of your faithfulness to God? Isn't that awesome? Staying true to what He says, right? Because we get so many opportunities to just get into our feelings. Oh, man. We get so many opportunities to get into our emotions and to feel things and see things through our natural senses. I mean, that's every day. Every day. And to abandon that and just walk by faith, we have to learn to do that. All of our lives, we've been trained to be genuinely human. We've been trained thoroughly well to be genuinely human, to act human. But we are a spiritual being. And now we're learning, aren't we? This is what we are learning about being spiritual. So I got to live in that faithful place. Moreover, verse 5, wine and wealth are treacherous. The proud man, talking about the Chaldean invader here, is restless and cannot stay at home. Should I go here, Lord? Can you stay at home? Or must you be out and be busy? Do you have to be with somebody? Huh? Because, see, if you just got to be busy and be out and be with somebody, got to be on the phone all the time, or you got to be engaged in media all the time, you know, Facebook, Twittering, television, if you always got to be involved in something, you're feeding the flesh. You're feeding those things in you that is at enmity with God. You're strengthening those things. See? I like my home and I like being there. I really do. I like getting away from the world. I really do. And God accomplishes a lot when we just have quiet times and we don't have to do anything in particular. I guess that's one reason why I enjoy cutting the grass. I'm just out there with the Lord. You know, I get a project around the house. I don't just go do something because I need to do it. I'm doing it with the Lord. Even if it's just washing the cars, I'm washing them with the Lord. That's my attitude. Spend time with the Lord in everything that I can. Just spend time with Him. And you know, the Bible, Paul teaches us that we need to pray without ceasing. That's the only way you can do it, is to bring God into everything. That's the only way you can pray without ceasing. We don't need to quit being in communion with God to do anything.
Amen. Oh, that's good.
We really don't. We can be in communion with God in everything that we do, in our relationships with one another, fun time, downtime, whatever we're involved in. We can do that in the Lord, and we should. All right. Moreover, he said, wine and wealth are treacherous. The proud man, the Chaldean invader, is restless and cannot stay at home. Listen to this. His appetite is large, like that of Sheol. And his greed is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all the nations and collects all people as if he owned them. Just grasping, reaching, gotta have, gotta have, gotta have, gotta have. This is the thing about seeking first the kingdom of God. When we really get that, We realize that I don't need to just make a lot of money just so I can just grasp and get things.
Amen.
It's not about that.
Amen.
It really is. A lot more could be accomplished in the church if we get this. Because we all are spending a lot more money on things than we should and not giving as much as we should to the Lord. If we really believed in what God wanted to do, we would be giving toward that. You don't even have to put a name on it. You can just put it in the envelope and say, wherever needed. Because I know God has got a lot that he wants to do. God's got great things that he wants to do to this, wherever it's needed, Pastor. And just so. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Because he ain't just telling you now. You just know the heart of God. See? That's what I rely on. That's why we don't beg for anything in here. That's why we don't push you for finances. It's because we're relying on you through your relationship with God to know what to do.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's what we're doing. And I believe that God honors that. I believe he does. Because if we do anything contrary to that, then we're getting in the flesh. Isn't that right? Amen. Well, we're talking about doing it the faith way. Hallelujah. Praise God. You do it the faith way. If it shuts down, it's because God's saying, you need to get out of there. Isn't that right? If it's time for it to stop, we're going to stop. Because we're doing it God's way. Amen. All right. It says in verse 6, shall not all these victims of his greed take up a taunt against him and in scoffing derision of him say, woe to him who piles up that which is not his. You see that? Look at what happens. Woe to him who piles up that which is not his. How long will he possess it? And woe to him who loads himself with promissory notes for usury. Some people are they get so into this and that they indebt themselves. They get everything and indebt themselves. And they owe their soul to the country store. Right? Because they have to have. You know what? That is personal desire that is misdirected. My hunger and my desire is supposed to be for God. And if if you're caught up in just wanting stuff, you're misappropriating. Your desire is misdirected. My chief desire should be for the Lord. Hallelujah. See? And putting him first. Hallelujah. Well, verse 7 says, shall your debtors not rise up suddenly? Who shall bite you, exacting usury of you, and those take away? Oh, well, let me see. And those awake who will vex you, toss you to and fro, and make you tremble violently, then you will be booty for them. That's why the Bible says that the borrower is slave to the lender. The borrower is slave to the lender. Now, this is what he's talking about. He's not saying that credit is bad or any of those kinds of things that we use to have exchange. But when you sell your soul and your desire for God, for the things of this world, you become a slave to those things. And that's what that system out there of commerce wants to do, is to make you a slave to it.
Amen.
So that you're always indebted to it.
Amen.
And it becomes an idol or a god in your life.
Amen.
And everything now that you do is based on satisfying it.
Amen.
Instead of satisfying God. See, that's the opposite of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, there's a grave difference between the American dream and God's dream. Big difference. Big difference. So, especially you young people, as you start your lives out and you're getting an education and stuff, stay free. Big house and fine cars is not the answer to the joy that you want to enjoy in life. It's not. Right? Be careful about your relationships. Because you can have friends that all they talk about is how they're going to make good money. All they talk about is how they're going to have a big home and fine cars. That's all they talk about. They have the wrong vision.
Yes, they do.
And see, you're subject to that because you're in a secular school around secular kids and some Christian kids that are not rooted and grounded in Christ. And we as adults are in a secular world working on secular jobs. We're right where God wants us to be because we're supposed to be a light. But instead of us being the light, we're letting somebody else do all the talking. And then we get moved by them. And then we want the same things that the Joneses have got. And so we begin to work over to make more money so we can have what they have. And somebody can look at us and admire us for what we have. See? And all of that is the opposite of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's the opposite. Whatever you attain in life, the blessings that come to you, you ought to be able to say, this is how I got that. Amen. The Lord led me to this. Amen. The Lord brought this to me. The Lord had favor on my life. God blessed me. That should be your testimony. It shouldn't be, I got a raise. I started working overtime. I made enough money. And I did it. I saw a way to do it just by making more money. And I just paid that sucker off, and that's how I got it. It should be a testimony. Because we're supposed to be teaching people how to receive from God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Teaching them how to receive from God. And God wants to bless every one of us so much that people have to turn their heads and go, my God, man, you just keep being blessed. How is this happening? And then you begin to show them, I obey the Lord. I follow Him. I do what He tells me to do. And then you say, how did you get that? Okay, well, let me give you, because everything's a testimony. Isn't it?
Right.
Everything becomes a testimony. And so you begin to talk about it, and step by step, you begin to lay it out to them how God brought it to pass. Started out with a desire, didn't have the money to buy it. God said, you did. And here it comes out of the blue. And He adds it to your life. See? That's what they need. They need to know that God is the source of their supply. Most people today don't know that. And that's why they'll fight for politics and get certain people in office and all this kind of stuff. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and repent of their wicked ways, turn from their wicked ways, right? He said, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. He didn't even bring the secular people into it. He's just talking about us. God will do something for America even with the abortion clinics out there. He'll do something for America that'll bless America to the point that the abortion clinics will have to close because nobody will go to them anymore. And He can do that through us, the church, if we just follow His principles. Do what He says. Just do what He says. What we do is we bring God a little something that looks like we're doing it. We don't really aggressively go after that. You know, if you're in a particular denomination and everybody in your denomination does it, that's not good enough. You see what I'm saying? If everybody in your group acts on 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, that's not good enough. Because you're still protecting yourself from other believers that don't believe just like you do. See? The problem with this is we're not willing to drop those things for the sake of healing our nation. We're not willing to get along with somebody else. If you said something that upsets me and I don't believe the way you believed, then I can't have any fellowship with you. As long as I have that attitude, then I'm not fulfilling 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, am I? I got to look past what you said to upset me and say, for the sake of this nation and what God said he would do, I'm going to look past what you said. I want you to look past what I said. Let's repent as believers. Let's humble ourselves before God. And let's talk about this one thing. That we want to be delivered of our own personal wickedness. We want to be free of our own personal sin. We want to repent before God. And if we'll do it, and if we'll come together based on that, God promised that he would heal our land. Let's do it for the sake of our land. I'm not going to preach against you anymore. Don't you preach against me anymore. Right? And do that. Now see, that's very difficult for the body of Christ to do. Because denominational people, they set up their, you know, their fortress and they will not let anybody else in except you believe what they believe. See? And that is non-productive when it comes down to what America needs. There isn't a man created that can answer all of the problems of our nations and fix them. Except Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
He is the only man that can fix all of the problems of our nations. He's the only one that can do it. And we have the opportunity to see him do it as believers. We can do something. Like I said earlier, there are certain countries in the third world out there that the presidents of those third world countries are calling for ministers to come over there and preach the gospel to them because they're dedicating their nation to God.
Amen. They are.
Israel got the first satellite through
their stars for the first time ever. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. They've got the first one. And you can preach the gospel to the whole nation through that satellite to the Israelite people. Now look, there are nations in the world that are prospering more than America. Third world countries doing better than we are. But they're dedicating their lands to God. Our political leader says we're no longer, our current political leader says, chief political leader says, we are no longer a Christian nation. That's what he said. That's what he said. It's on. You can go look it up. Google it if you want to. It's out there. That's the truth. We are no longer a Christian nation. We are a nation of many gods and many religions. Right? That's what he said we are. And we really have become that in spirit. But that doesn't eradicate the fact that God chose us and established us as a Christian nation. You could say we are a Christian nation that has primarily backslid. But we can be recovered. But you see, the only way that that can happen is if the church will do what the scripture says. Right? Now you have to start letting that be a part of your Christian worship. Instead of being on guard about people and different denominations. You need to have that attitude for the sake of our nation. Amen? You need to have that attitude. And if you can't do that, it's because you got a veil erected up there, brother. You got a veil erected up there. It's a religious veil. And you are guarding that thing and you will not take it down. Remember, God's ways are not our ways. The strange things about Christian people, when we get a hold of religion, we don't necessarily want to let it go. We prize religion when we finally get it. But all religion is not of God. All religion that Christians have is not of God. In other words, all of the religion that you have in you as a Christian is not right. And the Holy Spirit can show you how to bring correction. Amen. See? And I know we get into some pretty strange stuff when we start talking about veils, but you know, we're some pretty strange people. We're complex. We make things difficult for ourselves. God didn't make it so difficult for you, you know. We make it difficult for ourselves. We prize what we believe apart from what God tells us. We prize it so much we don't even ask Him about it.
Amen.
We don't make a list and say, God, what about this? Is this right? Am I seeing this right? Do we? We don't take the time to do it. We're too busy going out there to try to fulfill the American dream.
Bring it on.
We got to go to work. We ain't got time to make no list. Huh? I got something I need to do. I got somewhere to go. I can't just stop and settle down and get a pencil and pad out and start writing down stuff. God will show me. He'll show me. He'll show me. He'll show me. Oh, yeah, He'll show you. A lot of stuff that Christians are going to see is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. That's where He's going to show you.
That's right.
Or should I say, remind us. Remind us, because the Holy Spirit is working to lead us in all truth. Amen? Well, are you asleep? Or are you... Amen. Hallelujah. He will remind us. I am fearful of judgment. I am. I want to agree with the Holy Spirit so bad, so that He can accomplish in me what He wants to accomplish. So bad I do. I really do. And I mean, there are things that touch my life as a preacher that don't touch your life. I have different trials from you because I'm in the ministry and I'm out on the front line. I need more prayer than anybody else in here. I'm not ashamed to admit it. Right? Things touch me that don't touch you. And yet when I get in here, He clothed me with His anointing. He said, talk up, boy, talk up. I can't even take time out to suffer. You see what I'm saying? I can't take time out to have a pity party and talk about what I'm going through. Because I am... on the clock, brother. Cannot clock out. God's anointing and His calling is on my life. I have to keep going. See? And it's the message of the kingdom that keeps me going. Because I realize if I stop, I have my pity party and get in my little rut. I'm missing God. I'm missing God. I'm missing Him. See? I have to keep going. You have to keep going. Once you get the truth, then go with it. Run with it. Use it. Put it to work. Hallelujah. Don't stop and just say that was interesting. Put it to work. Use it for the glory of God. Amen. The more diligent you get about that, the more victory you'll have in your life. The more diligent you get about it, the more you'll realize who you are and what God's called you to. And you won't believe all those lies that the devil tells you about yourself. How many of you felt like nobody loved you? Don't raise your hands. Don't nobody love me. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. Honey, Jesus don't know that, or He'd been talking to you about it. He don't know nothing about that. You created that. You created that stuff. That is not the Lord. He's not in that at all. Not at all. See? The Lord is only talking to you about matters of the kingdom. He's not going to come down there and get in no gully with you and get His feet all dirty in the mud in the bottom of that pit down there where the water is, sit with you in the mud and say, they sure don't. Don't nobody know. the trouble we see. He's not going to do that. He likes light. Amen. If he comes down in there, he's going to come down there with a big old flashlight. And put that thing on. He's going to nearly blind you. And you're going to be like, my God. And you look around, you're going to see all that junk that's in that pit with you. You're going to be like, my God, get me out of here. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that's what the gospel will do for you. That's where we got to stay. We got to stay in the place where we're hearing, receiving the gospel. Habakkuk said, I'm going to stand on my watch and I'm going to watch and see what he's going to say to me. And then I'm going to pay attention to how I answer him. How am I responding to God? Now that I've heard this, how am I responding to him? Ask yourself that question tomorrow. As the Holy Spirit brings back to mind certain parts of this message that he's dealing with you about, say, now, how am I going to respond to God with that? And listen to the Holy Spirit, and he'll show you how to respond. Because in yourself, none of us know how to respond. But he'll teach us how to respond. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, we want to thank you tonight for your word. Thank you tonight for helping us, God. Oh, Lord, we are so thankful that the word of God itself is anointed with power, sharper than any two-edged sword, and is dividing asunder, making the difference between our spirit, our soul, our body, and we are able to see exactly where you're working and what you desire to do. You're helping us to understand that you have been sent, Holy Spirit, to help us to eradicate things that don't need to be operating in our conscious worship. You are helping us to see that you are positively injecting thoughts and bringing revelation that can cause us to stand up and be who we really are. Stand up and take on challenges in the spirit of faith and know that we already have the victory. Know that we already are above the struggle. We're the head and not the tail. We are not going to wallow in anything. We're going to walk in victory. Walk in victory. Walk in victory. Come on, give him some praise, somebody. Give him some praise, somebody. Give him some praise, somebody. He's worthy.